when you're planning your meals out, don't try to plan a bunch of new recipes. Like, that can be really stressful. Try to plan simple recipes and stick to one new recipe per week and keep like the rest of them really standard and things you already know that you like. And then that way you don't feel so overwhelmed, because every day isn't like this new challenge, like obstacle course, turning yourself into a chef, you know? Just one new recipe per week is good enough.
Doctor said you got PCOS. Now go on, girl, just lose some weight. Till I took the symptoms into my own hands and reversed them naturally. So I became a dietitian to help my sisters feel the best they've ever felt. Take a step in my direction if you wanna prove them wrong and take control of yourself. Join a sister and a
Breaking news, we finally started work on our new house.
Yes, we are so excited. We went the other day and literally, I'm scared. Like, it looks so bare. They tore down the walls. They tore down the ceilings.
Yeah.
There, I can see through walls into other rooms. Like, yeah. It really is.
That's what demolition is, baby.
It's something to behold. I've never seen it before.
I mean, if you've been with us for a while, you know that we purchased our house, our first property that we've ever purchased, back in July of 2023. But we took a big break after the purchase. You know, we just wanted to take our time with designing the house, you know, looking at all the different kinds of things that we could look at. Obviously, it took a little bit longer than we anticipated. We didn't want to really wait 6-7 months to start doing the work. But hey, we finally got started this last week, which means better content for all of you guys in about maybe 6-7 months.
Yes, I'm so excited because, you know, as much as I appreciate living at my parents' house, it's not really my aesthetic. And every time I cook something and every time we record TikToks or things with video, I'm just like, it's not me. It's not like exemplifying who I am as a creative person. So
yeah, just to give you an idea for the listeners, like, our parents are Armenian, like Talia's parents are Armenian, so is my parents. We're currently living at Talia's parents' house, and Armenians have a sense of style. To better explain, it's like a Middle Eastern house, very brown, like brown marble, or like the paint is like beige, and it looks really nice. But I feel like for us, for our like age group and for like our aesthetic, it just goes terribly the opposite direction of what we want.
It's like torture. Every time I'm trying to make a cooking video in the kitchen, it's like the glasses and like the plates are all old school.
Yeah, just, well, everything's like, not my brown. Aesthetic. Like, go on Instagram and look at Talia's meal prep videos and you'll see what we mean. Of course, we're not saying it looks bad, but like, for Talia's aesthetic, it hurts her soul every single time she has to film, because it's not white marble or it's not like
something easy,
bright room.
Yeah, because you can't like see the food because the plates are like clashing with the marble and then the brown cabinetry, and I'm just driving me crazy. Okay, I'm trying to make content over here.
Especially like when you go on Instagram or TikTok and you see all the content that people make. Like, for example, I'm sure we've all heard of Nabella, amazing content creator with her house, her food videos, her family videos. They're
she
all
would
perfect
die
aesthetic.
If she was dealing with what I'm dealing with, she
I
would,
doubt it. But yeah,
no, it could not be more opposite than her gorgeous aesthetic that she has going in her house.
Yeah.
But here we are, alas, we're still making content, still turning out great.
Yeah. I mean, at the end of the day, we're super blessed to be able to live with our parents while the house is sitting, so we're not paying any extra rent. Like, we're just super blessed for that. So
yeah,
I want to take
cannot
the wrong
complain
way. This is just first world creator problems.
This is
right here.
Seriously such a first world problem. There's like nothing to complain about.
Yeah.
But now that I'm seeing our house demoed, I'm getting really excited. You know, the visions are coming. Today I was working out and I turned to my sister and I was like, maybe we'll take a Christmas card photo this year.
Oh, yeah.
In front of our tree.
Well, they said the
with
house.
With our puppy.
Oh, yeah. That'll be the Christmas gift. But they said the house should be done by July, or like we should be able to start moving in during July. So, you know, some finally a date to look forward to.
Right.
And we have a couple of trips planned in between, so it'll make things go by faster.
Yeah.
For anyone who's curious, we're going to Miami this week for a wedding destination. So that should be fun.
Yeah.
Talia's first time in Miami. It's about to go crazy.
Is it your first time?
It is, I think, yeah.
Yeah, it's our first time. I'm excited for the hot weather, the skimpy outfits.
Yeah, sure.
He's like, sure.
I want to see you, and I'm looking forward to seeing you in the ski outfits.
Exactly.
But also the food. Curious how the food will be.
Mm-hmm. We'll keep you posted on Instagram, sisters.
Cool. Well, let's get started with today's episode. So today we're going to talk about his and hers PCOS meals. So how to help make your PCOS meals friendly, not just for you, but also easy enough so that your partner, your family can also eat those foods.
Yeah, we get a lot of messages from sisters who say, like, I'm trying to eat gluten and dairy free, but my family isn't, and it gets really difficult. So we want to walk you through what we do and how we make it work.
Yeah. Before we get started, we're going to do our Motivation Tuesday like we always do. These are sisters who are reversing their symptoms, losing weight with PCOS, and basically showing PCOS who the boss is. Now, to get started, our first win of the week is from Jessie in the sisterhood. She says, I have officially completed my 30-day challenge with the 4-week meal plans. That includes gluten, dairy, and sugar-free. I have a couple things to note. Because I live in a rural area, it is a little more expensive to do this lifestyle change. However, the meals are so good and the whole family loves them, so that's a bonus. I have lost 14 pounds, which is something I never thought I could do. I did find that I can go sugar-free, but I'm not entirely sure I can go gluten and dairy-free totally at the moment. Not saying I can't ever, just not right now. I have decided to do 80-20 with this lifestyle and eat the meals on the app 5 days a week and 2 days a week as cheat days.
Love it.
Yeah, it's amazing. I love how she's using the app, by the way, to organize her meal plans and everything, which the app does for you automatically. And to end it, she says, I found that I do have a lot of self-discipline, so I really think I can do it and stick to it. I believe my carb range is 120 to 150, but I still feel a little tired most days. But I am also very active, so I believe that may have something to do with it. And I want to add, if you have small children like myself, a toddler, you can do this. It's a little harder, but worth it. I believe in you. I do wish I had enough money to go full in like the supplements and Ovacetol, but maybe one day. Thank you.
Oh, wow. What an amazing message
by Jessie. And I just love how she incorporated her family into it and even says, mm-hmm. like, if with a toddler, it's even possible. So if you have a big family and you're worried how your meal plans might affect your, you know, nighttime dinners or even lunch, just know that's still possible.
And she even lost 14 pounds. That is a huge feat. And think about it. She's eating between 120 and 150 grams of carbs and losing weight with PCOS. So congrats to you. I love to hear that. And I love to hear sisters thriving.
Yeah. And it also goes to show, like, you don't have to be perfect, because mm-hmm. she's doing an 80-20 rule. And she says she's using the meal plans on the app 5 days a week and 2 days as cheat days. So you can always find the balance that works for you.
Yeah.
And you don't even have to call those cheat days. Just call those.
Living your life.
Yeah, exactly.
This is a lifelong thing, PCOS. So we have to find a way to make it work. Zinc, vitamin D, magnesium, B12, these are all the vitamins that we're deficient in because of PCOS, and the list grows on.
If there was only a way to get all of these into one supplement bundle without going on a massive online search.
Hello.
What?
Isn't that why we created Metabolism Plus?
Oh, you mean our supplement line that covers all the nutrients and vitamins a woman with PCOS needs in one bundle?
Yes. Sisters, when I was diagnosed with PCOS, I was so overwhelmed with researching all the different supplement companies, and eventually I had a huge collection of bottles in my cabinet that I couldn't even keep up with.
So with that in mind, we created a bundle of 4 essential supplements that have the fundamental nutrients for women with PCOS, and it's called Metabolism Plus.
Not only does our bundle include omega-3, coenzyme Q10, curcumin, but it even has a multivitamin designed to fill nutrient gaps that are common in women with PCOS.
And what makes it really special is that all of our supplements are NSF certified, which means they are third-party tested for purity and accuracy.
Head over to ovafit.org to order your Metabolism Plus bundle today.
That's ovafit.org.
Okay, stop smelling. The link is in the description.
How dare you?
Here's another message from Lauren from the sisterhood. She says, has Taline changed my life? Yes. Am I happier than I have ever been? Yes. Do I constantly get compliments on my clear, glowing skin? Yes. It's so cute. The PCOS method that Talian has created has shocked me many times, but spending a week in the south of Spain eating whatever I wanted, including some gluten, dairy, sugar, and carbs, and still losing half a kilogram also made me realize how much I don't miss those foods in my daily diet anyways. I've come home acne-free too, which is a bonus. P.S. I really don't weigh myself often. I much prefer before and after photos, so as it's crazy to see my progress, even if no one else can tell. I love that. She's posted a beautiful before and after picture of herself, and I can totally relate to that as well. Like when I'm traveling, when I'm having a good time, I'm eating a little gluten, a little dairy, a little sugar sometimes. Mm-hmm. You know, you just have to know your tolerance, kind of test the waters and see if that's going to trigger anything. And, you know, it looks like she was only in Spain for a week and she lost weight, in fact, and didn't get any acne. So it sounds like she understands how much her body can take.
Yeah, absolutely. And shout out to the south of Spain. That's where we went to go to Valencia. Yeah. We drove down to Valencia and stuff. So even in her picture, I mean, I don't know if this is Spain in her picture, but I see oranges. Mm-hmm. Maybe those are Valencia oranges.
Maybe they are.
But awesome. Is it? Great job, Lauren. We are so happy for you. But I guess let's move on to the episode. We're going to be talking about his and her meals. And to set this up, we did a little poll in the Sisterhood Facebook group. We asked everyone a question. The question was, what are the biggest challenges or frustrations with creating PCOS-friendly meals that your partner also enjoys? We had about four options. Mm-hmm. Tanya, which ones did the sisters vote?
Okay, so which ones did the sisters vote the most for? 41% said lack of time and energy to cook meals after work. That's the biggest challenge and frustration with creating PCOS-friendly meals.
I mean, that makes sense. Like, you come home from work or school or anything, you're so tired, and now you have to cook up a whole meal for you and for somebody else.
Honestly, that's so true. Like, that's why prepping a little in advance and having something ready, at least one thing, makes your cooking process so much easier and helps you create a 30-minute meal.
Yeah, for sure. And then second and third place were tied. Second place was finding recipes that cater to both my PCOS needs and my partner's preferences. Mm. That is understandably very hard because you might be going gluten and dairy free, but your partner's not or doesn't want to. And that can be a difficult situation right there. Mm-hmm. And then third place tied with second place was difficulty finding affordable and accessible ingredients for PCOS friendly meals.
Yeah. Sometimes, you know, depending on where you live, it might be hard to find specialty foods that are gluten and dairy free, but there are always alternatives that are natural. Like, for example, if you can't find chickpea pasta, you can just buy a can of chickpeas. It's like half the cost. It's the same ingredients because chickpea pasta is made of only chickpeas. Mm-hmm. So, you know, there are some workarounds.
Yeah, for sure. And then lastly, my partner isn't as enthusiastic about eating healthy as I am. So definitely can relate. I'm sure a lot of people, when you're on that journey, but your partner isn't, it feels like you're kind of alone. Mm-hmm. So definitely understand that right there.
Yeah, it's hard to like force something new on someone else, even if you're enthusiastic about it.
Yeah. But with that, let's get into it. We're going to talk all about tips for planning meals and grocery shopping, as well as how to collaborate with your partner and so much more. But to get started, I feel like we need to say, though, how difficult it is to make separate meals.
Yeah.
I feel like a lot of men don't know this because, you know, majority of the time we're not the ones making dinner, but we don't realize how difficult it is to make a dinner night after night. And then also think about how are you going to make two different dinners now?
Yeah, I haven't personally been in a position where I've been asked to do that. Like, Sirak, you've never asked me to do that.
No.
But I think that just laying it down that
unless
you're
you make fish.
Yeah, actually. Yeah, that is the only, because I get it. Like, if you don't want a whole
fish. But you don't do
fish,
that now. Like, if you make fish now, like, I don't say I want else.
I'll make, like, a taco out of it and you'll eat it. But there has been one time that, like, I had something else for you and the whole family was eating fish. And I was like, he's not going to want to eat, like, a whole fish with the eyeball in it.
But that was a very fishy fish.
It was. That's why I made a separate meal for you.
Yeah, that one was, like, I can't.
Yeah. This is... I can't draw the line. But that was one time, honestly. I just think that if you, as a fellow sister, like if you say, I am not making separate meals, like we are going to figure this out and lay that down, then people start becoming more flexible, working with you on it. and maybe becoming a little less picky, trying new things, realizing that they like other things. And I think that's a really important boundary to create, because it's actually so stressful to make multiple different things. One's Chinese food, one's like pizza. Like, it's like, how do you do all of that in one window of time? You probably only have like 30 to 60 minutes to even make dinner, which is like still like taking up your evening. So I can't even imagine. I feel for people who do that. And I think that's a boundary that has to be exercised. Like, no, we're not doing separate meals.
Yeah, for sure. Or how about you make dinner then and make me two separate meals? You know, like, you have to kind of know the other way around how it feels.
Especially for kids. Like, I see it in movies sometimes where like kids are like, I don't want to eat this. And then they like eat something else. And I don't know about you, Sirak, but my parents never even let me say that. No. Like, they were just like, this is what we're eating. Yeah. And you will starve if you don't eat it. So figure it out.
You're saying this, but I've heard stories of you telling about not eating your meal when you were a little girl.
Yeah.
And then your dad would be like, okay, you're not going to get up from this dinner table until you eat. And then you didn't get up for like 5 hours.
Yeah.
So.
But that doesn't mean I didn't like it. I was full. They would force feed me because they, as immigrants and people who come from a background and history of the Armenian genocide, we have this thing in our family where it's like, or not anymore, but when we were little and when my parents were little, like, you have to finish your plate. This is what we're eating. If you don't eat this much that I put on your plate, then you are going to starve.
Yeah.
You have to finish. Like, there's just this extra like tension and like trauma around food. And I was not having it. I was like, I'm full. We're done here. So if you want to have a standoff, I will sit here for 5 hours and prove to you that I am full. Yeah. I don't want this meal.
And you won that standoff with your dad, from what I hear. And he never forced you to eat again after that, right?
Yeah, I don't even think he remembers it.
You won the war.
I will win that war. No one will force me to eat.
So with that, we're going to go into 6 tips for planning meals and grocery shopping. So for the 41% of sisters who said that a lack of time and energy to cook was the biggest challenge for cooking for themselves or for their partner, we're going to give you 6 tips on how you can dedicate more time and save energy.
Yes, let's get right into it. So my first tip is to plan your meals for the week. Like, take some time over the weekend to think about what you guys want to make throughout the week so that you're not kind of grocery shopping and buying random things and wasting money on snacks and things like that. It's really helped me to like find a few recipes that I'm going to love and look forward to, and then plan my shopping, my grocery shopping experience around that. And then my second tip is, look, when you're planning your meals out, don't try to plan a bunch of new recipes. Like, that can be really stressful. Try to plan simple recipes and stick to one new recipe per week and keep like the rest of them really standard and things you already know that you like. And then that way you don't feel so overwhelmed, because every day isn't like this new challenge, like obstacle course, turning yourself into a chef, you know? Just one new recipe per week is good enough.
Yeah, you don't really want to try something new or exotic like more than 2 times a week, because you're going to be like overwhelmed and frustrated, and it's not going to make you want to continue.
Yeah, you're going to feel like you're doing a whole new hobby, and then it's going to take up way too much time. So stick to one new thing per week.
Yes. The third tip you probably heard before, but it's, don't go to the grocery store when you're hungry. You'll end up buying more impulsive snacks or impulsive things that you may not want normally.
Yeah, that's the oldest trick in the book. And if you do find yourself starving at the grocery store because that's when you had to go grocery shopping and you had no choice, why don't you get yourself a snack? Like, just before you even start shopping, like, find something and eat it, and then put the wrapper in the cart and then pay for it when you're checking out.
Tyne will get a Kind bar as we're going through and then start eating it as we're going through the aisles. And I'm just like embarrassed, because I'm just like, someone, the police is going to come in and arrest this lady.
No, I'm going to buy all the wrong things.
I know.
Like, my head's not in the right place.
We end up paying for it every single time, of course. Like, we don't just walk out and act like we didn't eat the Kind bar. We pay for it, but it's just weird to me. Like, I guess I'm just not used to it.
Yeah, it's rude. It's not right, but it is what it is.
I mean, you're paying for it, so I guess there's nothing wrong with it, but like, there's a little bit of like a gray area of like, is this really okay?
Is it okay? I don't know what the rules are at Whole Foods, but the lady does give me a weird look when she's like doing the beep thing to an empty wrapper, and there's no food in it. It's just like trash, and she's like, beep.
Yeah, I mean,
Whatever.
If she doesn't say anything about it, then maybe it's okay.
Yeah. All right. The fourth tip, stick to the perimeter of the grocery store as much as possible because they keep the processed foods in the aisles. Did you know that?
Yeah. Now that I think about it, that makes a lot of sense. Yeah. Yeah. And even the frozen stuff is in the middle where it's all processed and basically all the things they put in there to basically keep it.
What's it called?
Dehydrators or something.
Yeah, like anytime that something's processed, it's in the middle. Whether it's frozen, dehydrated, in a package, canned, you're going to find that in the middle aisles.
Yeah.
But if you walk the perimeter, you're going to do, like, if I visualize Gelson's right now, you're going to find, like, the hot food that's, like, freshly cooked, and then you're going to find all the meats and the fish, and then you're going to find all the produce, and you just did a circle around the store.
Yeah.
Like, what do you need next?
Yeah. And it doesn't mean you don't go into the middle of aisles and not get any of that stuff. It's just the focus. The priorities should be on the fresh foods.
Yeah.
The foods that are, you know, not frozen or not dehydrated. Doesn't mean you don't go and get those. It's just not your...
Exactly. It's not like the first thing you go to. You'll actually end up spending more money in the aisles, you know, because you're going to end up buying all these things and it adds up. Mm-hmm. My other go-to hack when I'm grocery shopping is to buy one veggie for each day. So let's say you forgot your shopping list. Maybe you don't know what you're going to make. You're, you know, flying on a whim. You don't know what to get from the grocery store. I like to buy one veggie per day. So like cauliflower Monday, zucchini Tuesday. And I actually try to eat like the leafy greens and things that go bad first and then save the stuff that don't go bad for later in the week. So that's cauliflower or broccoli or Brussels sprouts, things like that, that don't go bad. So that's kind of like a hack that I have when I'm at the grocery store. And I also like to get extra protein and just store it in the freezer and like always have that on hand, or extra protein powder and have that in the pantry. So these are like really important like staples. And if I don't think of that or have that, you know, as backup, then I kind of like lose track of my meal planning or like my PCOS friendly diet.
What would be the three things that you must get while you're there? You said your go-to hack.
Okay, so one veggie for each day, extra protein for the freezer, and always have protein powder in the pantry.
So the extra protein in the freezer is kind of like chickens that you can freeze in case of a rainy day if you don't have something.
Exactly. Today I didn't know what I was going to make for dinner. So last night I just opened the freezer, took out some chicken breast, put it in the fridge. And today when I make dinner, I'm going to be able to whip up some chicken breast because I didn't plan for this week because we're traveling. Mm-hmm. So I was like, whatever, I'll just make do with what we have.
Yeah. Okay, and then our fifth tip is to have frozen fruits and veggies. They're often the most affordable, especially compared to fresh. They last longer, and they kind of lock in that peak season nutrients. Usually when they freeze fruits and veggies, they freeze them right after harvesting at their peak, so they're able to contain the most amount of nutrients. It's also a great way to kind of boost your meals. For example, if you want to add them into your smoothies in the mornings, or even put them on the side of any meal to add like fiber and more nutrients into your meals, that's a great option too. So frozen fruits and veggies, kind of like having a extra protein stored in the freezer, mm-hmm. have them also stored in the freezer as well.
Yes. And the sixth tip is not only to have extra protein stored in the freezer, like the fish and the chicken, but also have some plant-based protein options like canned garbanzo beans or black beans, or you can even have like tofu. And like I said, protein powder. You never want to like miss out on protein because you didn't plan ahead. So just have extra, you know, always in your house.
Yeah, and not just that, but just having a variety of protein sources in general. Don't mm-hmm. just get ground beef or just chicken or just turkey. Mix it up. So you want like some poultry, some fish, some everything I just said, right? Just want to mix it up. You don't want to only have one source because your body gets used to it and there's not the same variety of nutrients and not the same quality of protein in one animal versus the other. So having that variety just helps your body stay fresh, you know, if that makes sense.
Helps your body stay fresh.
And you don't get bored either. I mean, you're not having the same like chicken breast every single night. You know, you're adding in ground beef. You're adding in, you know, some sea bass.
It forces you to try new recipes too. Like it's so easy to eat tacos every night. Like if you asked me what I could eat every night, 10 nights in a row, I'd say tacos.
Yeah.
But like you have to mix it up.
Yeah. So we're going to go into now five tips for collaborating with your partner, just to kind of summarize what we just talked about. So six tips for planning meals and grocery shopping. Mm-hmm. The six tips were: one, plan your meals for the week. Two, if you're trying new recipes, stick to one per week. Number three, don't go to the grocery store hungry. Number four, stick to the perimeter of the grocery store as much as possible. Number
five,
I guess
a few of my go-to hacks.
I said six, but we have 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7. We have how many tips is it? 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6.
We have seven.
Great job counting, boobs.
Well, I'm sorry.
All right. By the way, me and Talia's nicknames for each other are boobs. I don't know how that came out, but now we've released it onto the podcast, and now you know.
Now it's anyway, public.
So the next tip was Talia's go-to hack: one veggie for each day, extra protein in the freezer, and always having enough protein powder in the pantry. Number six tip, having frozen fruits and veggies. And then number seven, variety of protein sources.
Yes.
Okay.
That's our seven tips.
Yes. And then five tips for collaborating with your partner. I think before we read these tips, babe, should we read some of the successes that we've had with other sister and their mister?
Yes, let's do it.
With other sisters and their misters.
Yes.
That's how that makes more sense.
Exactly. So we have Francesca from the sisterhood. She messaged us a gorgeous picture of her chili. And she says, made one of my favorite and my fiance's favorite sisterhood recipes today. The chili. We did ground beef because he likes that more and I don't mind. Tried this gluten-free chili seasoning packet on sale for just $1. And it's so good. Also got a box of gluten-free cornbread. Pleasantly surprised how it tastes like normal cornbread. Topped it with avocado. It's perfect.
Is cornbread usually not gluten-free?
Yeah, they put flour in it.
Oh, I see. Okay.
I love cornbread. She said, I let John scroll through the sisterhood recipes and there's a bunch he wants. I'm glad he's always down to try my PCOS approved recipes.
Oh,
that's so cute.
I love this recipe too. I've had this so many times. This chili, it's turkey chili soup, right?
Yeah, I haven't made that in so long.
Yeah. Your parents' house, it's hard to kind of cook for ourselves sometimes, but yeah.
Oh, that's good.
By the way, when you go into the sisterhood app, there's different categories and different like sections. And one of those sections is called Sidox approved recipes. It's kind of a way for us to help you with your partner. So maybe if your husband or boyfriend wants to check out that section, they can see what I've picked out myself that I really like that I think other, you know, partners might like as well. Just to kind of help sisters out with picking those.
Yeah, it's the featured category. So tap that and then you'll see Sidox favorites.
And not to mention, you can always favorite categories. So if there is a category that your partner likes, you can favorite it and put it into a special category. Mm-hmm. So that way it's saved for next time.
Yes. All right. We have another amazing story from a fellow sister, Lauren from the sisterhood.
She says, on tonight's dinner menu, roasted red bell pepper soup and shrimp. Wow. I'm on week two of making all dinners from the sisterhood app. I was a bit apprehensive for a couple of reasons. One, healthy and better quality supplies and food can add up to a decent cost. Two, I don't have hours to designate to cooking, so I was nervous it would take a long time to make. And three, my husband is a pretty picky eater and really likes his staple comfort foods. But he has been very gracious in trying things out of his comfort zone and has enjoyed it. But I am so happy to say I haven't found a recipe that I haven't loved. The chicken paella is amazing. I'm grateful to be on this page and see so many stories and find encouragement. And I'm hoping I overcome my anxiety and fears about going to the doctors to get an official diagnosis or a better understanding of my body. My husband and I are hoping to start a family soon, if that is God's timing. I'm hoping to regulate my periods, ease any PCOS or hormonal imbalance symptoms, and be able to carry a healthy baby. Anyways, thank you to anyone who got this far in my long post, and I would love to hear any helpful tips or anything you feel called to share. Thank you, Talia, for all you do.
Oh, that's so sweet. And I love that she tried the chicken paella.
Yeah.
Because I got that from Spain.
Yeah, while we were traveling. And then we made a PCOS-friendly version of it. That isn't so, like, carb-heavy as paella normally is.
Yeah, totally. So,
and, like, this, I'm sure a lot of people can relate. Like, her husband is a picky eater, really likes his staple comfort foods. Mm-hmm. And she also didn't have the hours or maybe the budget or thought the budget might be higher.
Yeah.
But sometimes when you, like, plan things ahead and you make a plan for the next week or two, mm-hmm. and maybe share some of it with your partner, you might be surprised how much of it you can make it work. Even the affordability. Just the other day, Tali made a post about how she made, what was it, 4 PCOS friendly lunches for $18,
mm-hmm.
right? And that was a reel that we made. So if you want to watch that, basically...
That's four meals.
Yeah, four meals for $18 total.
The cost of like a salad if you went out to eat.
That's like less than $5 a meal, which I think we all know at this point is impossible to find. Like, it's so impossible to find anything for that little.
Totally. And, you know, when I see anyone messaging us about things being costly, you have to keep in mind that when you first start meal prepping, things are costly because you have to buy spices and things to cook with.
Yeah.
And these last like a long time. I can't even tell you. Like, I barely ever buy certain staples in my kitchen more than once a year. So at first it can be costly because you need some ingredients, flour, gluten-free flour maybe, or, you know, spices, like I said, or pasta and things like that. That can certainly add up. But once you're over that jump through that hoop, then it's not as expensive later on.
Yeah. So with that, let's get into five tips for collaborating with your partner. The first one, we just kind of talked about it, which is plan the meals for the week together. That way you're on the same page and nobody's complaining about meatloaf.
Yeah, I made that note because sometimes people hate meatloaf. And if you like plan on making certain things.
How do you hate meatloaf?
Some people hate it.
Just a loaf of meat.
I see it on Instagram. Meatloaf for dinner. Or I mean the TV, like TV shows.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
Why do we have meatloaf for dinner? I don't think there's anything wrong with meatloaf.
That's your grandma's boring meatloaf, gentlemen. Yeah. We have... very nice meatloaf.
Really good
for the partners.
Don't you love the meatloaf I make?
Yeah.
It's a turkey meatloaf. It's moist. It's delicious.
It has a little bit of that sauce, the red sauce, the tomato sauce.
Yeah, on top. And it's so easy to make. You have no idea. Like, if you're just over it and don't feel like cooking, put together this meatloaf in like 5 minutes, throw it in the oven, and just forget about it.
So in this way, you can basically tell your partner, here's what I'm planning for the next 5 days for dinner, let's just say.
Yeah.
And let him see it. If you give us a thumbs up on all of them, that way you have proof. If he complains, be like, give me a thumbs up.
Deal with it. Yeah. We're eating meatloaf.
Yeah.
All right. The second tip is to divide responsibilities. So if you don't really like cooking and it's just like, oh, here we go again, then get your partner involved. Maybe he can do the chopping or maybe he can do the proteins on the grill, you know?
Yeah.
And then you can just do the other stuff, boil some rice or bake some potatoes, make a salad or veggies. Boom, you have dinner and he did the hard stuff.
I mean, especially if you have a few hours on a Sunday, let's say you have like 2 hours to meal prep, like your partner can do all the protein on the barbecue or in the oven, like cook all the chicken breasts and then, or he can chop up all the vegetables that you're going to cook for the week.
Yeah.
And he can put them all into a Ziploc bag and then you can just take them out as you need or as you're making them, etc. So there's definitely a way to divide the responsibility where your partner will enjoy it too. Just so everybody knows, even though like we're not always in the kitchen, man, we love to help with chopping up vegetables or even like peeling stuff, even like, I don't know, like making some rice, you know, like there's something fun about doing it. So if you think your partner might be into it, you might be surprised how much more he might be into it.
Yeah. I mean, doing one thing, giving one task to someone else actually makes a huge difference in the cooking process. So even if your partner isn't into it, just one thing, like, hey, can you make the rice really quick? And that's like at least 10 minutes of your life that you didn't have to think about.
Yeah.
So divide those responsibilities.
And speaking of, the third tip kind of goes into that.
Mm-hmm. The third tip is to batch prepare things, like make a bunch of grains in advance. So you can make a bunch of rice in the beginning of the week so you don't have to make rice for the next like 3 or 4 days. Or you can barbecue a bunch of chicken on Sunday and then you can have chicken sandwiches for the next 3 or 4 days.
Yeah.
I mean, that makes such a difference. You don't have to necessarily meal prep and put everything in a container and it's perfect and you just pull it out of the fridge and you're good to go. That's nice too, but if you don't have time for that over the weekend, just do one thing and just barbecue a bunch of chicken and see how easy your lunch for the rest of the week is going to be.
Yes, 100%. Now the fourth tip kind of goes against what we said earlier. Well, that is to don't be afraid to experiment. So if you feel like things are getting a little bit stale or things are getting a little boring, like there's too much of
one
thing.
Too much meatloaf.
Yeah, too much meatloaf. Go ahead and experiment. Try something new. Try something that's exciting to both of you and just see how it goes. You know, it doesn't have to come out perfect. It doesn't have to come out like like Gordon Ramsay style. Like, for example, me and Talin, there's like this YouTube video of, with Gordon Ramsay where he makes his Korean sticky barbecue ribs. Mm-hmm. And like, it looks so good on TV, right? Me and Talin have tried making this thing
twice,
maybe like two or three times.
Yeah.
And every time we make it, it becomes like this soggy,
wet
rib instead of like a sticky, hard rib like it's supposed to be. And I don't know. Didn't work out. It didn't end up tasting that good, but we had fun doing it, which was a good part. And, you know, just go with that method of, like, try to make something new and fun. If it doesn't work out, like, have fun with that. Like, be like, look what we made. This is, you know, worse than meatloaf or something. I don't know. Like, just have fun with it.
Yeah. I remember during the pandemic, we did so many fun cooking experiments because we were at home and, like, so bored with our lives.
Yeah.
So that's when we made that sticky rib. Yes. We also made, like, pork meatballs, which are now
so good.
A sisterhood recipe.
With the pork meatballs with bacon in it. Yeah, that was one of our best creations.
And then we made fried fish, remember, in a wok.
Oh, yeah,
Do you remember
that
extravagant fish?
We did it one
fish?
Time because it was so insane.
It was insane.
Yeah. We like fried the fish to like, what is that term?
Filleted it.
Yeah.
And we like placed it on the table. Like we cut the stomach open and then like sat the fish on its stomach. Like, you know, because it filleted and when you fried it, it like held and got crispy and then it looked insane.
And it was so good. We made tacos with it and stuff. That was one
we
of our best.
Do that again.
But it was so messy because of the wok
oil.
And like the oil. Everything was just covered in fish oil.
Yeah, that's pretty.
Not the fish oil supplement, like the oil of the fish that was splattering everywhere. It was just.
Yeah, my mom sometimes says, like, "Listen, this is not a restaurant. You know, like you can't just make whatever you want because the cleanup is going to be insane. And who wants to clean up all these insane this insane amount of oil every single night?" You know, so sometimes it's just too much. All right. So the fifth tip is to make it a date night. So again, with the experimenting, but also light a candle, you know, have some music going, chat with your partner, you know, pour yourself a glass of Ovacetol.
Yeah.
That's right. I didn't say wine. make it a thing. Make it a cute experience together. That'll make it more fun and create a positive narrative around eating for PCOS.
Yeah, exactly. A fun date night. I think that's what we did for Valentine's Day this year. We cooked dinner at home. We didn't feel like going out and just made it like a fun date night. And that could be like any night, you know, two, three nights out of the week, make it a date.
Love it.
And then that way you also save money, not going to a restaurant.
Oh, Sirek. That's his trick.
Yes.
Look what he has up his sleeve.
Well, like that's all the tips for collaborating with your partner, and that's pretty much the episode. We talked about other successes with other sisters who are collaborating
with
their
husbands.
Partner. Yeah, exactly. Yes. And overall, we hope this helped you with taking those next steps on, you know, cooking with your partner, cooking for them, and maybe communicating some of these things with them to let them know what you're making and see if they agree or see if they have any feedback, and just kind of like vibing off of each other.
Yeah, totally. You know, try something new, take a picture, post it, tag us. We want to hear about it and see about it and shout you out too.
Yeah, absolutely. We get a lot of sisters who tag us on Instagram where they'll like show us in their kitchen cooking with their partner, with their husband, boyfriends, all that stuff. And it just like looks really, really fun. And like
makes my day.
Yeah, it does. Because we're affecting we're like part of a family at some point, you know, like that's really cool.
Yeah, I love that.
And keep in mind all the meal plans that we talked about, you know, organizing your meals, having a grocery list, all of that can be found in the Sisterhood app. You always have a daily meal plan with a grocery list as well as like a 4-week bird's eye view laid out for you so you can see what meals are coming to you for the next 4 weeks. And you have the power to swap them anytime. So full freedom in the app if you were looking for a guide on how to make these meals.
Yeah, it's a fun meal planning tool. Makes things easier for you.
Yeah.
Well, sisters, this was fun. Mm-hmm. We will talk to you next time. Don't forget to take a picture of your next meal. Tag us so we can repost it.
Yes, on Instagram at PCOS.weightloss. Until next time, take care.
Bye. Hey sisters, just wanted to let you know that all of our podcast episodes have corresponding blog posts that dive deeper into each topic. So head over to pcosweightloss.org/blog.
Is it slash or is it backslash blog?
I don't know.
I've always heard one or the other.
It's forward slash.
Or slash? Just in case, you can also go to pcosweightloss.org.